Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to When Pigs Fly. But first, something I think applies to today's show.
Mr. President, distinguished delegates.
የዓለም ጸጥታ አዋኪና ለሰላም ጉዳይ መሰናክል የሆኑትን ሁሉ አይነተኛ ችግሮች እዚህ ላይ ልንጠቅሳቸው እንፈቅዳለን።
Since the beginning of modern civilization, generations of weakness and inherited only conflicts of world wars. But behold the marriage supper of the Lamb and bridegroom unto his bride. Then shall the earth's children know the true expression of one love. Then Mother Earth shall honeymoon in peace, forever eliminating aspirations, lust, and anguish of wars and rumors of wars.
The innocent moon will not be fables, and propaganda spreading in the Sunday papers. Not even Superman would have seen you in the papers. Greater judgment appears, and Babylon a gamble you that men like princes, and give them a uniform and a chain and every princess. And now the clock has struck one on the amazers.
That was Damian Marley with Confrontation. I think really applies for this today's show. First of all, everyone out there, I want to wish you a glorious, and we've had a glorious Independence Day in the United States of America. 4th of July, of course. First, I want to make a quick announcement. Of course, this is When Pigs Fly. And of course, this, last time I looked, it was Andrew Fetter speaking. I have a really esteemed guest I look forward to having on my show. He's coming on in July, so circle your calendar, July 26th. Of course, who I'm talking about is Ben Stewart. He is the filmmaker of Chematica, Esoteric Agenda, and Engrept. Please Google his name. I'm sure you've heard him. You've seen his movie. If you haven't, I highly, highly recommend it. Google it, YouTube it, see it. Chematica is a must-see. He is also, with his group, you also have to definitely check out while you're at it. He's president with his music group, which is on tour. His group is called Harrisonic. They're going across the United States right now. I know they're going to be in the Los Angeles area because I'm going to go see them. In the Viper Room on July 23rd, so get your tickets. They are selling out real fast. And August 2nd at the LA Whiskeys of Go-Go. And do check them out. Even you can Google them. You'll probably hear some of their good old tunes that they got going. Now, today is an interesting day because a lot of things are actually happening around the world today. And before I do go into that, I want to give my thoughts and prayers to those who had perished in recently fires, the firefighters. We lost, unfortunately, 19 firefighters in Arizona. My thoughts and prayers go out to those families and friends and loved ones who are deeply affected. Of course, those glorious, brave souls who lost their lives. God bless them. And also, for those who will be affected, there's a lot of situation arising around the world. I know there's been earthquakes, a lot of tremendous things happening around the world right now on the earth. We're going through a massive changes in discourse. So I know things may happen in one country, people not aware of another. And even though as much globalization of understanding of things that are around the world do deeply affect all of us, we tend to live in our little fishbowl and forget that things are happening around the world. So we do need to understand that because they also relate to us. We tend to look into our own little areas, not being aware of those situations, completely benign of what's really going around our world. In particular, what's happening right now in Egypt, with the right now the ouster of the Muslim Brotherhood leader Morsi from being president. People don't realize that has actually a tremendous change within the dynamics of the Middle East. Of course, that's their independence, perhaps. It's, I think, a change that's a good change. The people have spoken or pushed forward. Their democracy is like having a total recall. Let's have a recall. Can you imagine we had the same thing? We want to recall our president, Obama, or somebody else want to recall. It's almost like unheard of, but for I got to hand it to the Egyptian military for stepping in and not allowing it to persist, because I think it would have gone further. Unfortunately, there is going to be possibly violence, but I think the violence is being contained as much as possible. That I got to hand it to them. And unfortunately, other areas like in Syria, with happening in Saad's situation, his demise, and with the Hezbollah moving, unfortunately, that is worsening. But I think, it is, as I said, another kind of fight. A lot of things are challenging. I really do see elements around the Middle East, challenges to the old clerics reaching out for their own independence. And as much as the sickle will go down, crescent will go down, so will the cross. So as much as I see the demise of churches and mosques and synagogues and temples are slowly getting diminished, people recognizing their self-worth, and recognizing that it is directly affecting these elements. And I think that's what's challenging. The old guard is slowly being displaced, which has to do with our independence. So when I start talking about independence today, even though it relates to the United States of America, it definitely affects everybody around the world, because you need to fight for your own independence. George Carlin had once said, and I'm going to say this again later in part of the show, before he had passed away, and you probably can YouTube this, it's actually on YouTube, it's amazing what he said toward the ends of his last few years, but he had said the real owners are the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians, they're an irrelevancy. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have a freedom of choice. You don't. You don't have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own all and control all the corporations. They've got they long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They've got the judges in their back pockets. They own all the big media companies, so they control just about everything you hear or information that you may hear. They've got you by the balls. They spend billions upon billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Not what you want, but what they want. They want more of them for themselves and less for everybody else. But I can tell you that what they don't want is a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want a well-informed, well-educated people capable of thinking for themselves. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. They don't want a people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they've been fucked for all by a system that threw them over the boards over 30 years ago. You know what they want. They want obedient workers, people who are just smart enough to run the machines, do the paperwork, but just dumb enough to pass to accept all these increasing shittier jobs with a lower pay. The longer hours, reduced benefits, the end of overtime, the vanishing pension that disappeared the minute you're about to collect it. And now, what are they thinking you've been doing? They've been talking about coming after your Social Securities. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. You know something, they'll get it. They'll get it all. Sooner or later, they will get it later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club and you ain't in it. You and I are not in that big club. And this is not just within the United States. This is around the world. And again, for those who are living in the United States, it all applies to you, what I'm about to speak of. Now, a lot of people have spoken about what democracy is, and they don't even know what the hell they're talking about democracy when they speak of democracy. You're basically being brainwashed of what democracy is and forget what, well, republic is. You've been washed to think one thing is good and really in reality is a negative. It serves their purpose. Now, people, if you ask everybody in America, the average American, what system of government they have, they'd say, supposedly we have a democracy. Well, wrong. We do not have a democracy here. Our system, or our supposed system of our government, is not a democracy. Most would say a democracy is good, isn't it? But in reality, I hate to tell you, it isn't. Most don't even know what a democracy is. Well, our founding fathers of America didn't exactly like democracy. And they said a lot of things about democracy, and they went so far at showing how bad democracies are. Ben Franklin once said of democracy, democracy is like two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch, and liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting that vote. This is why you need a republic. If you have Thomas Jefferson said, a democracy is nothing more than mob rule, where 51% of the people may take away the rights of the 49%. Now, if you look at it, that's exactly what happened in Egypt. This is what's been going on, let's say, Turkey. This is what's been going on for all these countries that have suddenly become the Arab Spring, and created a democracy, which they suck. They need a republic because that gives rights. You know, where was a democracy? In Nazi Germany, it was a democracy in the 1930s when the Nazi Party won its elections. And today, again, Egypt and most Muslim countries, especially the so-called Arab Spring, like I said, yes, a democracy. And yes, the majority will end up ruling, will at the same time disenfranchising the voice and the rights of the minority. Think about what in the democratic Egyptian when they vote in a Muslim Brotherhood by 1%. What they try to do, implement Sharia law and take away the rights of the minority. Look what they have done to the Coptic Christians who have been living there longer than the Muslims. I mean, God, how long have the Coptics been living there? It's well over 2,000 years. Not even talking about the Jewish population. The Jews are like nothing. There are no Jews there. And the anti-Semitism was rampant in Egypt. And they've been living there since the days of Alexander the Great. That tells you something. That's why Egypt needs a change. Hopefully it does. Hopefully it recognizes women's rights, minority rights, removes that theocratic. You can pray in your mosque or pray in a church or pray in a synagogue, but it doesn't diminish your right, the voice or your opinion or anything, and to remove that hatred. Now, what is a republic? A republic, what it does, ensures the protection of the minority and secures their voice. In place, for example, the United States, we have two legislative systems in place. One is called the House, where 51% actually makes the ruling. It's sort of like the mob rule, right? Yet, in the Senate, we have another thing called that same thing. 51% can make a ruling as well. But we have in place what's called a filibuster within the Senate. Now, for those that aren't understanding what the filibuster is, it's basically somebody can step up and sit there, continue the debate, as they call it, a procedural thing, and nonstop, and delaying a vote to come up. Now, the only way to overrule this continual debate, they would have to vote by a two-thirds majority to overturn the filibuster. This established sort of like a buffer of the minority to give themselves a voice. It's a buffer. People don't like it, but it gives a buffer. It allows them to have some kind of voice. It may slow things, cause problems, but it allows things to move forward. Whether right or wrong, allows a voice. Now, there's something very important thing what we have in the United States, which you will not find, and I have not yet found, and if somebody says they do, God bless them, because I have never really seen it, a real Bill of Rights for any other country other than the United States. I have not seen with any Bill of Rights with any country where there is actually a separation from religion, from government, while ensuring and protecting freedom of speech. This is why people don't understand when in America, we can say anything we want about anybody's religion, and even how blasphemous it is, it's no big deal, because that's their right to say it. So anyone can say anything, even about another's organized religion, and it's their right to say it without being prosecuted for their speech. This is freedom of speech, whether you like it or not. A republic not only tolerates the minority, both in government and practice, it's supposed to protect its voice. Now, the first effort back in the Articles of Confederation was generated regarding Garda's failure, but when what soon replaced within the United States in Philadelphia was hammering a new agreement. It was in Liberations of the Constitutional Convention of 1787. Which were indeed held in secrecy, but later exposed to what their frameworks were. And anxious citizens gathered outside, and there's this whole story in the Independence Day when the proceedings were carried forth. And as a delegate left the building, this is back then, a Mrs. Powell of Philadelphia asked Benjamin Franklin, "Well, doctor, what do we have?" Without hesitation, Franklin replied, "A republic. If you can keep it." He did not say a democracy. We have a republic. We do not have a democracy when they form the system. So please re-educate, understand the truth. In fact, there's a Federalist Papers. There's a series of 85 articles in discussion and in preparation. And these were, by the way, written by Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and John Jay. And there's, I think there are about 77 essays were actually published out of it into the Independent Journal, the New York Packet between 1787 through 1788. And there's a compilation, and they call these the Federalist Papers or the Federalists. And there's a series of articles, and I highly recommend if you ever want to learn to why and how our Constitution was established and educate yourselves on what the Constitution really is and what your rights really are and what the system was and what was meant by it, then you have understanding of what we are and what should be in our foundation. Now, this also applies for those outside the United States, because you can see perhaps you should change your parliamentary system into a presidential senatorial system like what we have. I think it has establishment as long as you take out the corporations out of the moon, which is a whole other story. Now, the Federalist Papers, like I said, were established. In fact, there was one called Number 9 by James Madison, and he's often referred to the father of the Constitution. And he said, democracies have been spectacles of turbulence and contention and have ever been found incompatible with personal security or rights of property, and have in general been as short in their lives as they are violent in their deaths. And that's exactly what he says, and you see it everywhere you see a democracy is created. Okay? Even you can think about Iran. It was formed out of, not even though it calls itself a republic, it's a lie, it's not a republic. It formed out originally out clerics basically created oligarchy, but then they select who they vote. And then even that's a facade, but then elections are really basically a democracy. 51%, you get the vote, the minority has no rights. And it shows in course. I mean, Hamilton even spoke about this in a speech he gave back in 1788, urging the ratification of the Constitution. He said, ancient democracies in which the people themselves delivered never possessed one good feature of government. Their very character was tyranny. Their figure, disformity. So again, our forefathers were against democracies. They were for republics. Please re-educate yourself. Learn the truth. You know, even though monks over and over again, the media keep us over democracy. We want to spread democracy. Democracy is crap. So why would we be spreading democracy? Yeah, they're spreading democracy. It's to help control and manipulate things. Anyway, we've had recent decisions by the Supreme Court has made major implications. And these folks have actually taken away as many of the rights as they have given. I mean, they have overruled recently with giving the right to for gays to be married, and which is sort of like giving back what they should have had in the first place, and not distinguished. But at the same time, they've diminished our right to our Bill of Rights. For example, they've never gone into the issues of if somebody, let's say, for the Fifth Amendment. And some of you say you probably heard take the Fifth, which I'm going to explain. You're not to be subjugated to say, if you take the Fifth or just say, hey, I'm not going to say anything that could be used against me, that in court, in the now Supreme Court, can be implied your guilt. And they're like, what? So they're saying that you're already giving your, if you take the Fifth and don't want to say anything that might occur or cause you to imply that you've done something guilty, then you are guilty, which is sort of craziness. So they've just taken that right away from you. There's all scurry of votes, the rights they have been taking away, which I'm going to get into you. But you have to realize, you know, I see people, I've looked up even talking, Huffington Post, and some people I talk about the Patriot Act, and they go, what's unlawful about the Patriot Act? And this is the Bill of Rights. They have no clue, or they don't even care. And I don't understand. It's like, are they that stupid? People need to wake up and realize the truth of things. You know? And there's an idea of why the Bill of Rights were actually created in the Constitution. It was added in for a real situation. I mean, it was purposely made to... Without the Bill of Rights, there was no Constitution, you know. In fact, Alexander the Great, he feared without these certain rights to protect the people. So here's some little bit of history. Like I said, you know, Patrick Henry argued against the Constitution at one point because he said he was concerned that it would be too strong government proposed by the Federalists, which would threaten individual rights. And he was afraid that the president would become like a king. I mean, Thomas Jefferson at one point as he was serving as an ambassador during in France, wrote to Madison by advocating a Bill of Rights. Half a loaf is better than no bread. If we do cannot secure all our rights, let us secure what we can. And that was sort of like, oh, okay, let's have only what we could have. But in reality, good thing that Madison stood up and says, no, we have to have everything. George Mason refused to sign the proposed Constitution until we had a Bill of Rights. And here are the Bill of Rights. And this is why they are so important. And by the way, these Bill of Rights, you should emphatically, those living outside the United States, should imply and put these inside your government. And in wherever you live. I don't care if you're in the Middle East, Europe, South America, or whatever. Because they are your would apply to you. These are your human rights. First of all, is the First Amendment, which you probably a lot of people have heard or talked about. It is establishment of cause, free exercise cause, and freedom of speech. Now, here's what it says literally. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Meaning, it will not recognize there's a Christian or Islam or Jews, Judaism or Buddhism or whatever religion. None. It's outside. That's why you would not see, you're not supposed to have a church or anything that's associated with religion within government. People get all upset when they say, well, our government is based upon, it doesn't matter. Our Bill of Rights say no religion within separation of church and state. It also says that you have a freedom to exercise that freedom of speech, that exercise of your religion, whatever your spiritual belief. Nobody judges. You can be whatever you want. That is number two. That's also within held in the First Amendment. It also says in the Bill of Rights, abridging the Congress shall make no law to abridge your freedom of speech or of press, or the right of people to peacefully assemble or to petition the government for a readdress of grievances. Meaning, you have the right to say what you want, you have the right to put it in press, and you have the right to protest and petition the government when you're upset about what is going on. So, this applies to both Egypt, in the UK, in Europe, in Tunisia, or wherever. Any country that has the free, must have the right in the freedom of speech in a constitution. It is a constitutional right. But these countries do not have this right. Therefore, they are basically, yeah, you can call them a democracy, but democracies are crap. You do not have freedoms. You don't have the right to say what you want. Think about it. That's what you should have. Now, there's another important thing that we have in the United States. And this would sort of put things in perspective. I'm not going to get into too much of it. It's the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is a it's literally, I'm reading for word by word, says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, that's the right of guns. It has nothing to do with, you know, I'm going out to go hunting or protect my home or target practice. It's literally a deterrent. And I'm going to get into the Second Amendment. I can do a whole show on it. I've done it in the past. But it's literally, as even the people who wrote it from Jefferson to everybody else, our forefathers, it was about a creeping a balance against the government. And without the Second Amendment, you would not have a First. And just think about all the countries around the world that don't have a First Amendment. Why? Because you don't have a Second Amendment. And by the way, there was a famous thing that was said by Thomas Jefferson who said it, that the best government is one Okay, here it is. It's Thomas Jefferson said, well, one thing he says, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free, it expects that what will never was and never will be. That's number one. That I forgot to say, but that's really important. But there was something else that Thomas Jefferson once said. He said, when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. I want you to think about that comment. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there's liberty. That applies around the world. And that's why the Second Amendment is so important. That's why the government is so afraid of people having the guns. Because once they're afraid, that means why we still have liberty in this country. As much as people say we don't, we still do. The minute that's gone, then the government's not afraid, then you don't have any liberty. Think about it. Think about what the governments around the world can do. Whether you're in Britain, the government is not afraid of the people. They just go in and do whatever they want. Think about it. You do not have liberty. You have tyranny. Now, there's a Third Amendment, and it's talking about protection. It applies that no soldier in time of peace shall be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, or in time of war, but in the manner to be prescribed by law. That was basically, you know, that you're not forced to have army soldiers in your household. Then there was the Fourth Amendment, which is a protection, unreasonable search and seizure. Now this applies to, oh gee, I wonder what's going on now with the NSA, right? Now this literally says the right of the people to be secured in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause supported by the oath and affirmation and particular prescribed in place to be searched and the person's things to be thereof seized. Now, what is happening with the NSA? They can literally spy. Does your country have search and seizure protections? The Patriot Act in itself is unconstitutional. But this will never and has never been presented to the Supreme Court. Why? Because the Supreme Court basically is bought and sold. And they will never address this. Has the NSA been spying on you? I mean, I went over on this over on my last show. How about the Department of Justice regarding the Associated Press? Didn't they illegally spy on them? Do you see people being prosecuted for that? No. But they did violate the Fourth Amendment. And I'm not going to go into the NSA things with over in Europe. The European governments, by the way, are full of shit. They knew very well that their citizens are being spied upon. In fact, they're part of it. I mean, there was a 1940 agreement between all the NATO countries, or most of some of the NATOs. Originally, Canada, Britain, the United States, Australia. I think there was one New Zealand. They all signed agreements back in 1940s to cross-listening to their citizens for a global listening system. And this is, of course, called Ashkelon or something like that. You can look it up. It's definitely an example of a system that was in place. You Google its history. I don't want to get into the specifics. I went into it last week. But it's definitely in there. So when you hear the government's going, oh my God, they're spying us. They're all part of it. They're just pulling their act. But I want to go indulge in it. The point is I'm trying to establish things of independence for what we need to establish and people around the world to understand so they know the truth of things and what laws really are. Not that to educate yourself. Know the truth of what things are and what they are not. The media pulls out and what things really are. What our forefathers thought in place, they're actually pretty brilliant, but we keep on forgetting these, you know, or become ignorant, as like what Jefferson had said, you know, when he said that if a nation expects to be ignorant and free, it expects what never was and never will be, which literally applies to us. We'll never be free if we remain ignorant. Anyway, the Fifth Amendment. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless presented with indictment or of an indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in land invasions or naval forces or in a militia where your actual service in time of war or in public danger. Nor shall any person by subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of a life or limb, shall he compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without compensation. This is a whole gamut of stuff. I mean, the Supreme Court just recently, and it just sort of went underneath the pattern, had concurred with saying that if you don't, because it's basically it's telling you that you're not supposed, you don't have to be a witness against yourself, and that you can take the Fifth. So anything you say, this is where you heard that anything you say can be used against you. This is the Fifth. You probably may have heard people say, "I'm taking the Fifth," meaning they're not going to say anything that might cause or associate themselves with doing something criminal. This is your right. And it's really smartly what this was to prevent people from being interrogated and beaten over the head and try to make them, you know, being tortured into to submit that they did some crime. It's also was implied, put in here, if you say that the only way they can lose their life or liberty or property is with it needs to be done through due process of law. Now, you're going to find that the IRS can come in and take your property without due process of law. Question there on that thing, huh? You can also, by the Patriot Act, be thrown in jail as an enemy combatant, even though we're not really in war. They can say it's public safety, but come on. They can put an American citizen just by picking them up and say, well, we're putting them as enemy combatant under the Patriot Act. But we're not really in time of war because no war has been declared. So, and if it's a public danger, you know, how could that person be a public danger if he's incarcerated and going through court system? Every person, even if he's put in jail, he has the right to due process. To mean go through court. So if you're contained, you can't be put away for in perpetually into a prison, which is Gitmo, which is sort of any American who's sitting there is illegally being done. Now, there's another thing called the Sixth Amendment, and what it says is trial by jury. And here's what it says. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by impartial jury of the state district wherein the crime had been committed. This district shall have been previously ascertained by law to be informed by the nature and the cause of the accusation, to be confronted with witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. So, this gives you the right to have basically a lawyer or a counsel to defend you. And that you have to have a trial. They can't just sit there, like I said. So go tell this to the IRS after they seize your property. They have that right. Go ask the government when the Patriot Act can imprison you, even if you're American, without due process law, as I stated earlier. Clearly, this is a violation. But do you ever think any Supreme Court will ever challenge this? No. Remember, bought and sold. Now, there's the Seventh Amendment, and it basically says, in suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of the trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of common law. Again, you cannot lose your property or, you know, this is talking about property now, unless it's through a trial. So, again, IRS can seize your property, take your property, and without due process of law. You can also be but under the Patriot, both are unconstitutional because they can actually seize you and your property thereof. But you think that's going to ever be questioned? No. The Eighth Amendment, the prohibition and excessive bail and cruel and unusual punishment. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive, fully well. When an American is thrown into prison and called an enemy combatant, does he get bail? Does he get even a hearing? Again, is this constitutional? The Ninth Amendment, which for the protection of rights not specifically enumerated in the Constitution, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to or to deny or disparage any others retained by the people. In other words, you cannot take rights from the people. This is an absolutism. Anything inferred of rights to the people cannot be taken away. Now, the last is called the Tenth Amendment. And what it says specifically says the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectfully or to the people. It does not say corporations. It says people. They had corporations and companies back then, by the way. Why didn't they put it in there? But again, the Supreme Court idiots, bought and sold by who? Corporations. Said corporations are like people. Go figure. So this tells you what our system has become, corrupt. But here, in fact, here are the rules. We have people up there making up their own rules. I mean, you have people like even President Obama will say you one thing to get you get elected, and he's no different than anybody else. And then I find people who all become protectionists. I remember the days when the Patriot Act came out, and then a couple of years later, there was a lot of people very Democratic, whatever, in the Democratic Party. And then later also became very pro-Obama, were against the Patriot Act. And I remember Obama talking about changing, adjusting the Patriot Act. Well, did he? No. In fact, he just recently, by the way, nobody talks about it, re-signed it. You didn't hear that on the major news. Why? Because two people are busy worrying about Zimmerman trial, which is absurd, a distraction. Okay, so basically we have the Supreme Court, which is now rewriting our Constitution. And these are even not just by the conservatives that placed them there. This is bought and sold by everyone. And I'm getting back to what we are. We are a democracy, not a republic. No, we are a republic. People do not know the difference. Our government was set up as a republic. You know, there was a famous man. He was a member of the Congress during the 8 years that George Washington was president, and he wrote about the mire of democracy. And then he said that the framers of the Constitution intended our government shall be a republic, which differs more widely from a democracy than a democracy from a deposition. Yes, our forefathers were well aware of the differences between a republic and a democracy. They revered the former, but as I said above, they hated and feared the latter. In view of the founders' ardent convictions, it is no surprise that they cannot or find one word of democracy held within the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution. The Constitution not only proclaimed that our government, federal government, should be a republic, and further mandate the United States should be guaranteed to every state in this union as a republican form of government. It doesn't say democratic form, it says republican form of government. These principles were used widely understood and accepted by John Marshall, Chief Justice, Supreme Court from 1801 to 1835, where he had said, between a balanced republic and a democracy, the difference is like that of order and chaos. I mean, that explains to you. I mean, Ralph Waldo Emerson once wrote that democracy becomes a government of bullies tempered by editors. Again, that's what democracy is. The prevailing evil of democracy is a tyranny of the majority rather than that of the party. not always the majority that succeeds by enforce fraud in carrying out re-elections. So why is it that Wilson declared to make the world safe for democracy? Why is it that Franklin Roosevelt said that the U.S. must be a great arsenal of democracy when we are not a democracy? Why? Think about why. Why is the United States constantly told that the United States is a democracy when in fact it isn't? Why are people so damn ignorant or being bought and sold by whether it's MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, or even Huffington Post or whatever, which is corporate-owned, all-included, who call themselves whether liberal, conservative, or the intelligentsia of this country, pull this bait and switch on us and calling us a democracy when we're not. We're a republic. I mean, there's even an Englishman named Tyler, Alexander Tyler, who's also known as Lord Woodhouselee. And he wrote once, a democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover they voted themselves the largest say from the public treasury. From that moment, the majority always votes for the candidates, promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that a democracy always collapses over a loose fiscal policy, always followed by dictatorship. This, in fact, is what you have. This is what you have like in Iran. This is what you had in Egypt, Tunisia. This is what you have like in Europe, the UK. And then you end up with a plutocracy. And that gets it to another thing. Because, well, we didn't become a dictatorship here. It became an oligarchy plutocracy. And we are now becoming idiocracy. You know? I mean, look at what we have, our healthcare system, our healthcare. They say the Health Care Reform Act, saying that it somehow falls under the Commerce Clause because it has taxing implications. Please, come on. You can see what's bullshit. There was a 100-year law that Montana had. And what it did is forbid corporations from donating candidates. So what? That was perfect, right? No, the Supreme Court in one quick stroke tore that up. Tore that up with saying that, you know, it tore up basically the founding of our Constitution and what the Republic is. Because I just said to you in the 10th Amendment, it says the rights remain with people, not corporations. A nation of and by for the people was now never to be not just in practice but in law. Again, the 10th Bill of Right makes only the people, not a corporation, have the voice and the free speech, then this includes donations and influence on the legislature. Again, the 10th Amendment says the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution or prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. It does not say corporations. But that was I think a year ago that just sort of nobody talked about. The Supreme Court has applied taxes to those reasonably for allowing the health mandate to apply, saying if you don't have it, then you're going to have to pay taxes. Really? Here's what the Commerce Law says. This is how they're making up bullshit and just throwing it over people. It's amazing. It says in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3, the Congress shall have the power to regulate commerce with foreign nations among several states and with Indian tribes. And the necessary probable cause, this is what it expands to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for the carrying into execution the foregoing powers and all other powers vested by the Constitution, the United States government, or in the department thereof. The necessary and proper cause is the final clause of Article 1, Section 8. However, the Constitution clearly are the role of the Congress versus interstate commerce. Interstate commerce, which is stated in Section 1, Section 9, Clauses 1, 5, 6, through the interpretation of Section 8, 9, which could depend on the circuit depending on the case. So again, how does that apply toward taxing you if you don't have health insurance? I mean, you see how they slip that in? Suddenly you're getting a penalty for a new tax if you don't have it. It's telling you have to have it. And who benefits, think about having this new healthcare reform. Instead of having a universal healthcare, which should give, it should be not, healthcare should be not a privilege, but a right. Why can't we have the same healthcare as the senators, the congressmen, the president himself? Why do we have to benefit? Because they didn't want you to have it. They're the, because the owners told them that you can't. And who are the owners? The owners are the ones who own the insurance companies. And you got it, the corporations, insurance companies, they're the ones who are going to benefit from this Health Care Reform Act. And don't believe the bullshit that the GOP is. They're probably, they're this one and the same. They're playing this same game. So you think you're living in a democratic republic? Think again. Under the Congress, Article 1-8 in the Constitution says, the Constitution, it says to Congress under the Article 1, Section 8 in the Constitution, shall coin and regulate value thereof. Yet we have a private entity, a corporation that does that, coin and make or regulate our coinage, our currency, called the Federal Reserve. The Congress has no right or authority to relinquish its power under the Constitution. Yet they have. I'm not going to go into the Federal Reserve, but that's what we have. We have a Federal Reserve controlling our commerce, controlling our monies, dictating it, which it was supposed to be the Congress which makes our coin, which regulates our coinage, therefore regulating our commerce. So the United States, which is supposed to have a republic, has in effect become a plutocracy. And what is a plutocracy? It is when a government is solely run by the wealthy. Think about it. Do you see any average folk in Congress, president, justices? No. You see millionaires. There isn't one person, there might be one, that's not a millionaire in the entire thing. It's a joke. It's a pyramid. It's the old pyramid. And they're all throwing you a bunch of carrots and think you're in Disneyland. They make you believe in you thinking that you might get rich, but it's the old casino game. They let everyone think they're going to win, but they know they're not going to win because they're constantly throwing money when there is none. So someone once said to me, Las Vegas is the epitome of what's wrong with the United States. Well, think about what the casinos are. They're hustlers, and they know it. So what they do, they're the top 1%ers, and they know it. They got you. They want you to keep buying and paying and paying. They want to bullshit you, just like the casinos will hustle you to sit in front of that little slot machine and pull the hammer down. That's what they want you to do, mesmerize you. They want to drain your dumbass hamster ass and to think you are. They want you to keep up, be the hamster going round and round and never go. This applies to every single country. They got everyone in every country hating everyone else. They want you to hate, 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 and they want you to be entertained. They want you drugged. They want you to be their perpetual slaves. You are their hamster in the wheel, the rabbit chasing the carrot. That's what they want. They have made silly putty thinking that democracy is good and forget the simple fact that it's a republic for which we stand. You know, there's a thing we just did. I remember I was just at the, you know, thing we did for 4th of July. And here's the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody says, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic, for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. To the republic. It did not say democracy. No, we are a republic. So don't be an idiocracy. Don't stick your head in the sand for the fucking plutocracy with no lubrication. Enough is enough. Independence is this day. Jefferson once said again, ignorance and sound government could not exist together. The one will destroy the other. Despondent government could restrain its citizens and deprive the liberties of their liberties only while they were ignorant. So if you're ignorant, they can take control of you. They can play games. They can bullshit. They can restrain you. Thomas Jefferson once said, if a nation expects to be ignorant free in a state of civilization, it will never, never was, and never will be. So as the late George Carlin once said, I reiterate once again, the real owners are the big, wealthy business interests that control things and make all important decisions. Forget the politicians. They're just an irrelevancy. the politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own your damn ass. They own everything. They own all the port and land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They've long bought and sold. They've got the judges in their back pockets. That includes the Supreme Court. Think about it. They own all the big media companies so they can control just about all of the news and information you hear. They got you simply by the balls. They spend billions upon billions of dollars every year lobbying and lobbying to get what they want, not what you want. Well, we know what they want. What they want is more for themselves and less for everyone else. But I'll tell you what they want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. Thinking for themselves. They don't want a well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That doesn't benefit them. They simply don't want smart people sitting around the kitchen table and figure things out how badly they're getting fucked. You know what they want. Obedient workers, people who just know smart enough to run their machines and do the paperwork. That's what they want. So think about it. And I'm going to leave this at one portion. This is, by the way, from the Declaration of Independence. When, in the course of human events, and this, by the way, applies to everyone around the world, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another to assume among the powers of the earth the separate equal nation station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind will cause that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We therefore hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal, that they are all endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, the governments are instituted among men, depriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute a new government, and laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form, as to them shall seem most likely to affect the safety and happiness and prudence indeed will dictate that the government long established should not be changed for light or transient causes. But accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are severable than to themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and absurdities pursuing invariably the same object invests a design to reduce them, under the absolute deposition, it is the right, it is their duty to throw off such government, to provide new guards for their future and security. That is from the Declaration of Independence. And as Thomas Jefferson had said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free, it expects never was and never will be. And I wish to all you, God bless you all and have a glorious, glorious weekend. And I'm going to close the great song by Jimi Hendrix called Freedom. And I hope you have a glorious weekend. And God bless you all. Thank you.
My life, so I bought my lead. Even this one, my children.
God bless, and have a glorious weekend. That was, of course, Jimi Hendrix with Freedom. Thank you.